Well, this is a very special day in the calendar of the church year. It's called Feast of Christ the King. It's the last Sunday in the season of Pentecost. You see, we're no longer wearing green. Today is white because it's a special occasion. Thank you, Jeanette and Linda. They were busy beavers changing all of the colorings and everything. Next week, of course, begins another season, and that is a season of preparation, the season of Advent, and you will see that everything will turn to purple. And this is going to bring us one of the greatest celebrations of all, from Christ the King to the four Sundays of Advent with the Advent wreath and the beautiful candles. And then we come to the greatest celebration of all, when Jesus Christ came into the world as a baby to offer to the world a special gift, salvation through the sacrifice of himself for us. Just 1 week from today, we begin that penitential season, during which we light a different candle each week. There'll be three purple, and there'll be a pink or rose-colored candle that we will light. It's a season of preparing to remember and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to prepare ourselves for his coming again. There will be a day, as Matthew chapter 25 tells us, when the Son of Man will come again in clouds and great glory. A trumpet will sound and the angels will welcome him in. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Well, our gospel reading today jumps towards the very end of the Gospel of Luke, right to one of the most painful readings that usually we reserve for Good Friday, the crucifixion. We read of Christ finally being recognized as king, but unfortunately recognized in mockery. Jesus is given a sign right on top of the cross, nailed, declaring him as king of the Jews, but again, it was in mockery. Also in mockery, a royal cupbearer, a Roman soldier, brings Jesus a drink. But it's a foul, cheap, sour wine, not a drink fit for a king. Instead, a drink for the poor. And then to top it all off, he's given a crown. It's not a diadem. It's not a gorgeous crown. It's a crown of thorns. They divided his robes, casting lots in mockery and jest. Our king, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified and hung between two real criminals in the cruelest of ways imaginable, being nailed to the cross. Have you ever hit yourself with a hammer while you're trying to hang a picture or something or put something together and, ow! Can you imagine a spike being driven through your hands? And then the other hand, and then one being put through your ankles, and through the bone to keep you up on the cross. One of the criminals taunted Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." They were going to try to ride the gravy train, you know? The other one recognized Jesus had done nothing wrong and then asked Jesus for something that only the king could give, mercy, to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. These two criminals are a perfect example of the two ways in which people can live. Of course, there's two ways you can live. One, denying Christ, making a mockery of everything that he is and that he's done, making a joke out of him, and just calling him a good teacher, a preacher, but not the Son of God. And the other is seeking him, acknowledging his kingship, his lordship, asking for his forgiveness, and wanting to spend all of eternity in his glorious presence, talking to him on a regular basis, having a conversation, a relationship with him. Sin separates us from God, and we need to remember that all of us are sinners, and there's not one person here today, I'm sorry to tell you this, that has not committed a sin in their life. Does anybody here walk on water? Does anybody here change water into wine? Does anybody here have miracles performed on a regular? No, you don't. You're not God. You're human. And yet, God provides something for each one of us sinners, to be able to get that we don't deserve. And that's forgiveness. And I pray that each one of us here, if you have a sin on your heart, that you bring it to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. God is holy, and because of that, sin simply can't come into his presence. I want to share with you some important words that were written about 600 years before Jesus was born, from the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. See, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities have been barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. God does not want us to be apart from him. He wants us to be with him in relationship. Only God can save us. Only God can bridge the divide so that we can cross over to him and be in his grace, his mercy, his love, and most of all, in his presence. Sin has to be punished. If God left us alone, we would absolutely have no hope. Can you agree with me on that? It's heartbreaking to read the picture of the cross and the mocking of Jesus as King of the Jews. Jesus has clearly expressed and shown the true meaning of his kingship and the meaning of the kingdom itself. He's reached out to others who might be considered the wrong people, tax collectors and sinners, and he's offered peace and hope and healing to all people of God's coming judgment. It's a far cry from the way that he was hailed as king on Palm Sunday. People laying down their cloaks, waving palm branches. Now, on the cross, he's hailed as king, but in mockery. That Sunday before of the week, as we call Passion Week, Passion Sunday, or, if you will, Holy Week, Jesus is exalted. The same people who were singing Hosanna in the highest. These are the same people who are now screaming out, crucify him. His true royalty shines out in his prayer and his promise. Unlike traditional martyrs who died with a curse against their torturers, Jesus prays for their forgiveness. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like a king on his way to his coronation, Jesus promises a place of honor and bliss to one who requests it. Forgiveness brings the life of heaven to earth, God's future in the presence. The image that the Apostle Paul paints for us in our reading that George read this morning from his letter to the Colossians is amazing and truly about a king. I want to share this part of it with you again. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Now that's a king. That is truly a king. I want you to imagine, if you would, being in the presence of royalty. Has anyone here had the opportunity to be with royalty? It's something that not too many of us ever get to experience. Here in this country, we aren't led by royalty. And so unless you had a royal invitation to meet a royal leader of a country, we just can't imagine what it's like or even how we're supposed to behave. Are we supposed to curtsy? Are we supposed to bow? Are we supposed to kiss their ring? You know, I mean, think about it. We have no idea what it's like. Well, we've seen movies and we've seen plays in which royalty are portrayed in Camelot. And it doesn't come close to actually being there, to being in the presence of someone who leads a country by royalty. One day, every believer in Jesus Christ is going to stand in the presence of the King. The important thing for us to remember is if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you talk to him, you seek his face, you say, thank you, Jesus, for the things that you see, for the blessings, and you say, help me, Jesus, for the times that you need it, he will put you at ease because you know him and are connected with him in a special way. He loves you. He loves you enough to die for you. I believe that he will welcome you into his royal kingdom, welcoming you as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. The image of the sacrificial lamb has been all throughout Scripture. We're familiar with what John the Baptist said to Jesus when he was coming towards him. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. Every Sunday, and this morning, we will do it again. We will be singing the words that are called the Agnus Dei, that Gray will be playing on the organ. And we'll be singing the words that are found on page 119 of our Book of Common Prayer, seeking his mercy and his peace. John saw what no one else could see at that time, John the Baptist, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who had come into the world to die so that we could be freed from the verdict that comes with sin. Just several weeks ago, on what we call All Saints Sunday, we read from Revelation chapter 7, a glimpse of the throne room of the King. And that chapter ends with these precious words. I want you to hear them again. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. That's Revelation 7:17. His love for us is everlasting, and his mercy is abundant and filled with his love. And so today, and every day as we worship Christ the King, we need to be mindful of how we should live. Our lives should be about the Lamb who took our place on the cross. Our lives should be about preparing to join him when he gloriously comes again or calls us to be with him. Our lives should be about living the message of forgiveness and love that can only be found in Jesus Christ, who told us on the night before he died, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. That's from John 14:6. So may I suggest to you in closing that the way that we can really show Christ's love is for us to tell others what Christ the King did for us so that they also may live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.